The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Pei Dalid. Hilchas Nizkei Aguf, Sifim Aleph, Du Yud Aleph. Sif Aleph. Also, the Adam Hakais is Chaveri. One's not allowed to hit his friend. Yimiko, and if he did hit him, Oiver Balaisase, he's Oiver Alav, Shinamar, because it says in the Pasuk, Vahayim Ben Hakais HaRosha. And when you give the Rosha Malkus, Abayim Yakenu La Yosef Pen Yosef. You're only allowed to give him 40 minus 1, only 39 Malkus. Do not give him more. So if the Torah was makbid not to hit the Rasha even one more bang than he deserves, certainly someone who's not guilty and requiring of Malkus, he should not be given even one hit. So that's why it's also to hit somebody. Even someone who just lifts his hand to hit someone, he didn't hit him yet, but he's raising his hand to hit him. Afa pishalohiko, nikra rasha. He's still called a rasha, even though he didn't hit him. Shenemar, because it says in the pasuk, v'yoyim el rasha lama sakareyecha. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Rasha, why are you hitting your friend? Lama hikisa loynemar. It doesn't say, why did you hit your friend? Ela lama sake. It says, why will you hit your friend? Afa pishadayim lohiko, even though he didn't hit him yet, nikra rasha. He's still called a rasha. V'chom mi shehika es chaveroi. When whoever does hit his friend, harehu muchrim b'chayim hakadmonim, he's put in chayim. Ve'ein litzarfa l'minyan asar l'chol davar shebekdusha. You're not allowed to include him in the minyan to count him as one of the 10, or any other thing that requires 10 men. Ad sheyatiru lo beis din asachayim, until beis din releases him from the chayim. K'she makabel alav l'shmaya dinam, when he's makabel to listen to do what they say to rectify the matter. And if someone is hitting yourself or hitting another yid, and you can't save yourself or his chaveru or your other friend who's being hit from the aggressor, the only way to stop the matter is for you to hit the person who's attacking. So that's mutter. Self-defense or saving the victim, then one is mutter to hit. Even a servant, you have a Yiddish servant who's not listening to your voice and deserves some degree of punishment, you're not allowed to actually hit him. However, one is allowed to hit his young children, or an orphan that he's raising as a child in his house, to put them on the correct straight path, shizui toivasam, because this is to their benefit, contrary to perhaps a lot of popular secular child rearing guides. Little children do need a little patch sometimes. They need a little something to get them on the right track. Sif gimel. Tzarech lizayer shaloi lahashlich shivrei kliz chuchis ukadayma. Person has to be careful not to throw glass. Broken pieces of glass, b'kdaima, b'makom shi'chul hazik, in a place where people could get damaged from. You're not allowed to cause damage to another person. So by putting out those glass shards, so and now someone chalila could fall and hurt themselves on it, or cut themselves on it. So that's considered a bor in halacha. It's considered like a pit, just like if there's a pit and someone falls into the pit. So then the person who set the pit is the one who's wrong. So same thing over here. If you put something dangerous out where someone can come and hurt themselves, that's considered like a bore, that's like a pit. And a person oftentimes would be chayiv, depending on the circumstances. So, but certainly is not allowed to be done. Again, it's not just glass. It's anything that could damage, whether it's nails, whether it's wet paint, and now someone will ruin their clothing, etc. Well, and based on the person will not be chayiv to pay for the clothing, because we say a bor is putter on clothing, but nevertheless, he still should not do that because you're causing damage to other people, even though it's not damage that could be recouped in a beis din. Sif Dalid. Im yesh l'shcheinoi choli yoresh, rachmano utzlan, if your neighbor has a sickness in the head, v'kol ha'akoh mazik loy, and so banging is something that disturbs him greatly and makes it difficult for him to heal himself. Lo yichdoish afilu b'beisai rifei sikyeitzi behem, should not crush in your house some type of wheat dish or other things. Shekol ha'ka'asa magia l'beis shchino, so that in a fashion where that noise will reach the house of your neighbor. Umazik lo, and it causes him damage. Normally, things that are louder than normal noises are loud when during the day when people aren't makbid. But if the person who's nearby is sick, and that does cause a problem, so then one's not allowed to do that. The Chazon Ish points out that that's only talking about a situation where we're doing a noise that's not a regular noise. You're crushing these wheat pieces in order to make a certain type of dish. But regular household noise is allowed even if it does bother a sick neighbor. So if a person has children and children make a certain degree of noise and they walk, they laugh, they cry, that's something that's considered within the normal range of what people do in their house. And so therefore, of course, someone should be considerate and try to figure out if there's a way to minimize any suffering that the neighbor may have from it. But a person does not have to pack out and leave his house or shush his children the entire day because it bothers a neighbor. That's something which is considered a standard use of an apartment, and therefore they're allowed to use the apartment that way, even if it does cause some inconvenience and discomfort to a neighbor, even if that neighbor might be sick and the neighbor and the noise does bother him. Of course, one should always try to work things out in a way where everybody could live happily, but push comes to shove, it is a valid usage, and that person would have the right to have his family function normally. Sifhei, yesh oid harbe dvarim b'inyan nizkei shcheinim, olivnei v'shus harabim. There are many other halachas when it comes to things that would cause damage to your neighbors or to the v'shus harabim. Vaklalhu, and the general rule is Shaasalasai Shum Dava Afila Beshusai, you're not allowed to do anything, even if it's in your own premises, Mikosha came Beshus Harabim, and certainly not to do things in Rishus Harabim in the public. Dava Shiachala Gia Mimenu Aza Hezek Bishainai, something that could bring some type of damage to your friend. Oi Loivim Bishus Harabim, or those that pass in Rishus Harabim. Imloi Bidaba Shaposhad Aminog. Unless it's something that the minig is widely known, that person could do that, whatever he wants. So then it's something that is if the entire populace has agreed that it could be done. So this way, everyone is meichel because they would also want the opportunity that should they come and need to do that, that they should also be allowed to do that. The case in Shulchan Aruch about that is, even though one technically, according to the Gemara, is not allowed to dig underneath the public street in order to have a storage house there, like sort of connect from his basement or something. However, since that's something that everyone used to do, and they made sure to do it in a way that you know the street wouldn't cave in, so then that's something that would be allowed. Sivvav, Hamavis es chaveiro, if someone frightens his friend, kagayin shetzark alav me'achrav, like he shouted from behind, or shenir aloy ba'feila, or he popped out at him in the middle of the darkness, or anything similar. Chay b'dinei shemayim. If there is any damage, then the person is still is chay b'dinei shemayim. Midinei adam, and based on, would not be able to say you have to pay him. Let's say the case in the Gemara is when a person, let's say, shouts and or does this thing to find the person. Now, let's say he loses, for example, let's say he loses his hearing. So, normally, if someone would take hit someone so he should lose his hearing, so then he did something, he's chayev to pay for that loss. But in a situation where he didn't touch him, he didn't do anything, it was just the fright that caused that. So therefore, it's more of a grumma. It's something which is an incidental or indirect damage, not a direct damage where he physically actually touched him or did something to him. So therefore, Midinei Adam, Beis Din would not be allowed to say that he has to pay him. However, Midinei Shemayim, he is chayiv. And as we said before, Dinei Shemayim means that you're chayiv to do it. When you go up to Shemayim and you didn't take care of that, you're going to have an issue. It's not a midas chasidus. It's an actual requirement, just that Beis Din cannot enforce it. Siv Zayin. Hachayiv el b'chaveroi, if someone damages his friend, inflicts damage upon him, afa pishin asan es hamamay lanechbo, even though he pays for the wound that he caused, mashin es chayiv lo yavo achabala, whatever the amount is that he's chayiv to pay for that wound that he caused them. Achein ganav, saying to a ganav or gazlin, someone who stole, a thief, afa pishin zero oishomay, even though he returned the stolen item, or he paid for it, yikomakom nevertheless, ein miskapel lahem, there's no tshuva for them, they don't get full tshuva, ad shivakshu mechila me'es ha-nechbol o'yanigzol o'yanignav, al-atzah shahoyu lahem, until they ask for mechila, until they ask for mechila from the person that they damaged or stole from, for the anguish that they caused them. Because not only was the person losing the money, and the amount of the money was returned, but he also felt a lot of anguish that he was out that money, and that has to be gotten a tshuva on as well. And the person who was damaged or the person who was stolen from should give mechila and should not be withholding of that. Sivchas. Haraya is chaveru b'tzara rechmanu tzlan. If someone sees his friend in a pickle, in a problem, and he has the ability to save him, hu ba'atzma, either he can save him himself, or lischa achem latzila, you could find someone else that you can hire to save him. Chayev l'troyach v'lischa latzila, you chayev to take that tircha, to go do physical effort, or hire the person in order to save this other person. V'chayizav nifram imenu im yeshlo, and you can ask for the expense back from the person after you save him. If he has the ability to pay you, it's something that you can ask him to reimburse you for the expense that you laid out in order to save him. But if that's for the person who was saved does not have any money to repay the expense associated in saving himself, nevertheless, he should not hold back from saving that yid because you won't get reimbursed for it. You should save him even if it means spending your own money. And if you hold back from doing that, you're the isser of standing while your friend's blood is being spilled. The chayin as well. Im shama eze rishoyim mechash v'mroa al chaveroi. If you heard about some rishoyim that are planning to do something bad to your friend, or yitayim din loy pach, or they're setting up a trap for him, v'loy gila oznoi lahidir, and now you didn't tell your friend to watch out about this, to be careful for it, or you can appease the people who are setting the trap or making the evil plan, for your friend, and to take the anger out from their hearts, and you didn't appease them, or anything similar to this. You're also over on the issue of Loi Sam Al Dam Reyacha. And whoever can save one yid, it's like he saved the whole world. Each person has a specific purpose, and saving a person is like saving the entire universe. Siftes. Mi sha'oisek b'ziyufin, someone that is in the counterfeiting business of money, counterfeits money, v'yesh lochosh yisakin b'zir rabim, and one should be careful and suspect that perhaps he can bring the entire public into a sakana. In the olden days, if there was a Jew who was counterfeiting the local currency, so it wasn't just that they'd go and arrest that Jew and put him in prison. They would kick out the entire Jewish population from the city. So now, because this one person was doing the wrong thing and trying to make himself some illegal money, so now the whole town would suffer. And they'd all be banished and lose their businesses and their possessions as they ran away from the town. And so in that effect, that person who's the counterfeiter, he's a raidef. He's like an attacker who's running to attack the people, even though he's not physically bringing a knife and attacking them, but his actions are making it that he's bringing an attack on the entire populace. Baruch Hashem, in our days, in modern countries, they realize that if someone's doing something wrong, it doesn't mean that the whole populace agrees with him and that's something that he should be doing. They punish the person individually, but in the olden times, that's how it was. It was a collective punishment thing. So dinai kamei roidev. So this counterfeiter, he has a din of a roidev. Umasrin bai shelo yaseh, and we warn him that he better stop. V'meino mashkiach, and if he does not listen to the warnings and does not cease and desist, mutal lemasrei lemalchus, we're allowed to hand him over to the government. V'leimer she'ein achim zasek b'zeh, we could say that there's nobody else who's dealing with these counterfeiting. With this counterfeiting of money, only this person, and he's the one who you should get. Because again, when you have a roidev, so then you're allowed to do a preemptive strike and have the roidev taken care of before he inflicts the damage. And so too, in such a situation, if there's an individual that the government is starting to get on his case because they think that he's the counterfeiter, so he could tell them, Ani, any oiser, I'm not the one who's counterfeiting. El Pliny Levada, only that other individual. Now, this is only in a case where there's another counterfeiter, and therefore he has a din of a roidev. But, and as we said the other day, if, let's say, you get a ticket or something, you can't now go push that off on somebody else, even though maybe perhaps they meant it should be for you, but now once you, for your friend, but now that you got stuck with it, one's not allowed to push that off to someone else. Over here, when you're dealing with a situation that there's a roidev, so then the game gets a little more liberal. Of course, when someone has an individual shayla, like anything that we're learning in all of the shiurim, one should speak to a rav competent in Hilchos Chayshin Mishpat. Sif Yud. Noyagin sheshiva tuve ha'ir done in dinei knosos. In the olden times, they used to have a council of seven yidden who would be the ones to run the town based on what they thought would be best for the townspeople. So they had the ability to give out fines. Kagayin al chavalos v'chirufim u'kadayma, if someone caused hurt someone else, wounded them, or caused them, or embarrassed them. So the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, that council, was entitled to give out fines for the people who were acting wrong in order to make sure that the townspeople will behave properly, and therefore if someone stepped out of bounds, he would get this fine and punishment, and therefore he would not want to do it again. V'ein lehem laseis davar b'li Beis Din. However, they should not do anything without the advice of Beis Din. Because there are a lot of particulars when it comes to these laws. And you can't do more than what's appropriate according to the halacha. And should not be light in their minds the kavod habiyus, the honor of a person, meaning we want to make sure not to embarrass people only in the situation where it's when it's necessary and called for. Sif Yod Aleph. Mubaris, a pregnant lady, shehimaksha leilid, that is having a hard time giving birth, and things are not going in the middle of labor. It's a very difficult labor and things are stuck. Kolz man sha'uber b'sech me'eha, the entire time that the fetus is still in her stomach, still inside of her, mutarin lachatchai, and now we're in a situation that she's in a dangerous situation and she could die because she's not giving birth and the labor is getting all complicated. So they're allowed to actually cut the baby to remove him piece by piece, bein basam, whether using any type of medicines, bein biyad, whether even by hand. Shekol shelo yatzei la'avi ha'olam, because so long as the baby has not gotten to the outside of the mother, ein shem nefesh alav, ein shem nefesh alav, it's not called a soul. U'bishvil la'hatzil se'aim, so therefore, to save the mother who is in mortal danger, mutarin lachat chayu elada, cut the baby in order to get him out. Mishum dahavi lei k'may raidev, because he is like a raidev achachavero after his friend lahargo to kill him. Because what's happening? The baby is the one that's causing the mother to die over here. So therefore, we're allowed to kill the baby to get him and get him out, and that would be saving the mother, just as if there was an attacker from the outside coming to attack her. Aval kashahaytzi roishoy. However, once the baby's head has already come out, ein noigin bo, we can't touch him, meaning we can't cut him or kill him to in order to get the rest of the baby out. She'ein doichin nefesh m'nei nefesh, because we don't push off one soul for another soul. How do we know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind as to which is the more important one to live out of the two? So that's not our decision. Now we leave it up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So v'zeo tivo shel olam, and this is the way nature goes. So really, what he's answering here is the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, is that you would ask, well, wait. So even if the baby's head did come out, he's still causing the mother to perhaps die over here, because the rest is still stuck in, and if he doesn't come out quickly, then the mother's going to die. So why is that different than if you had an attacker from the outside trying to attack the mother? He still should have a din of a raidev. And that's what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is saying here. V'zeo tivo shel olam. This is the way nature works, meaning that he doesn't have a din of a raidev because this is the way things are supposed to happen. The baby's head is supposed to come out and be born. That's part of the normal process. So he doesn't have a din of a raidev. This is the way nature goes. But before he's born, before his head comes out, actually, that's when he doesn't have a din of a nefesh. He's not considered a person yet. And so therefore, we're allowed to kill the baby in order to save the mother. Kol tov.